Before I went to Bible college, I managed a printing factory down in Brookvale. I don't know if you know that. I loved the job. It had the right levels of stress, and it also had a good amount of variety in the job, which is what I really like. The boss I worked for was called Graham. He was a Kiwi married to an English lady, and we constantly enjoyed each other's company. And I miss working with him. I believe that we worked really well together. It was lots of fun, lots of hard work. But when you are close to someone that you work with, like my boss, you get to know how they're going to react when they hear certain things. Now, for my boss, what really got him going was hearing the word check, you know, from a checkbook. When someone said they'd have a check for Graham, a check for the bank, these are in the days when everyone would mail a check and give themselves an extra 15 days. He would yell out to me, "John, I'm picking up a check from North Sydney," and off he'd race, jump in the car. Usually within 5 minutes of leaving, he'd give me a call and let me know all the things that I needed to do because he was now picking up a check and couldn't do his work. Sometimes I'd hear him walk past my office, so I'd quickly pick up the phone and I'd say, "Oh, sorry, what did you say? You had a check?" And my boss would just walk straight into my office, would stand in front of me, trying not to say anything, going, "Who is it? Who is it? Where's the check? Where's the check?" My boss was so focused on making sure there was enough money in the bank that any mention of the word check would get him going. Now, I'm sure you know people like this too, people who, when you say something in particular, oh, it just gets them going. They respond exactly as you want them to. They're so focused on the task, they'll drop everything to make sure that that gets done. Now, today, as we look at this final sermon in a series of church doctrine sermons that we've had throughout 2024, can you believe it? Today, we see that when it comes to Jesus, he drops everything to make sure that you are presentable to him. He makes sure that you are presentable to him. If we need to be righteous people without blemish or stain to enter God's presence, then we can be very hopeful because Jesus does that very thing for us. He makes us presentable to God. This is his task, and this is what he does for those who trust in him. And because Jesus does all of that for us, of course, as his church, as his people, we can live hopeful lives. We don't need to be worried because Jesus has made us presentable to God. So it'd be great for you to have a Bible open to Ephesians chapter 5. As Luke said, it's a very short reading today and we are only looking at those three verses. And you've got an outline in your bulletin, so have that open and maybe you'd like to make some notes as we go along. Now, the first thing we see in this passage is that Jesus gave himself up for us. Now, the context of this passage tells us that this particular passage is speaking to husbands. It starts off by saying, "Husbands, love your wives." And then we get the two words that compare the love a husband should show his wife with the love that Jesus has for his church. The two words are "just as." Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, the church is referred to as her. And this will continue through these verses. Whenever you see the word "her," it's referring to the church. And what has Jesus done for the church? Well, we see the answer in verse 25. Christ, or Jesus, loved the church and gave himself up for her. Loved the church and gave himself up for the church. Now, all that we've been seeing over the past few weeks through Christmas is seeing that Jesus came to earth for a purpose, and this purpose we've seen again and again throughout these last few weeks. He came to save his people. And in order for Jesus to be Saviour and Lord, as we saw on Christmas Day, he gave himself up for the church. In other words, he gave himself up for those who trust in him. Now, the word "church" here is the word that speaks about people who trust in Jesus' sacrifice for them. the gathering of God's people, that's the church. That's the church, and what Jesus did was give his life for the church, for his people. Now, this is a big deal, really, isn't it? We have the incarnate Son of God coming down in human flesh to die for his people. I remember asking my boss one day why he needed to pick up checks. Soon after I started, someone told me that they were putting a check in the mail, and I was on the phone to them, and I hung up the phone. I went to my boss and said, so-and-so has told me that they've sent a check in the mail. And he said, no, who is it? I'll ring them back and I'll tell them, I'll pick it up. And I said, why? Well, why do you need to keep picking up checks? Why is this so important to you? And that's the right question for us as we look at Jesus in this passage. Why did Jesus give himself up? Why did Jesus have to die? I mean, surely as creator of heaven and earth, he can do whatever he likes. Change the rules, make some corrections. Why did he have to give himself up? Why has he done this? And what we see in this passage are three reasons why Jesus gave himself up. And for those of you who love grammar, well, these are the three verbs that help us see why Jesus gave himself for the church. They're the three things you see in your outline. Why did Jesus give himself for the church? Well, the first reason is to make her holy. To make her holy. And we see this in verse 26. I'll start from verse 25. Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her to make her holy. To make the church holy. Holy. Now, the word holy here is a word that's often associated with the word to sanctify. The idea is that when someone is made holy, they've been caused to change. And this change is to be moved from an unholy person to someone who is holy. Now, if you think back to the Old Testament, there was a process for a priest to go and serve in the temple to become holy. They would be set apart for something special. A bit like Aaron and his sons who worked in the temple. They were set apart for a special work. They were sanctified sanctified through a process of ceremonial washing that then made them holy. But as you come back to Ephesians, what we see is that Jesus makes the church holy. The church doesn't become holy through a process that they take themselves through. Baptism doesn't make us holy. The Lord's Supper doesn't make us holy. Coming to church doesn't even make us holy. Rather, Jesus makes us holy through the giving of himself. It's his death on the cross that makes you holy. Now, this is all related to God and his holiness. God is a holy God. A God in and of himself is holy. And if you think about us going to be with God, then we need to be holy in order to be acceptable before God and be able to enter his presence. And what we're reading here is that through the death of Jesus, the church is made holy. Jesus makes his church holy. And this happens when someone puts their trust in the Lord Jesus. It's at that moment that they're made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus. Now, I remember going to the drag races with Matthias a few months back. We had a great day together. As you walk around, I know you can't imagine having such a fun time at the drag races, but it's really good. It's very good for you. As you walk around the paddock where all the cars are sitting, and you look at all these nice, shiny cars, they're clean, they look amazing. You see the bug catcher coming out of the bonnet of a car and you think, oh man, this is fantastic. But when you think about the car itself, it has done absolutely nothing to make itself look good. Now, I know you can't imagine this, cars looking good and drag cars and all the rest, but these cars are made beautiful by their owner. The team that works behind the scenes, cleaning it, preparing it, fixing up the scratches, making it look amazing so that when I get there, I can take a photo and go, oh, wow, isn't this fantastic? And this is why Jesus gave himself for you. He has given his life to make you holy. What have you done to make yourself holy? Nothing. It's when we trust in Jesus that he makes us holy. He gets us ready to be presentable to him. He himself makes us ready for him. This is why the church can live with such great hope. Some people live their whole lives wondering whether they have done enough. Will God accept them? And friends, this passage is the great relief, because it tells us that we are not only made holy, but we are made holy by the one who will receive us. He himself has made us holy so that he can accept us, so that we can have great confidence in the sacrifice of Jesus, because it's through his sacrifice that his people are made holy. And that's the first reason why Jesus gave himself for us, to make the church holy. As we're heading to the second answer, let's ask the question again. Why did Jesus give himself for the church? And this time, the second thing we see is because he cleansed her. He cleansed her. Look at verse 26 again, where it says, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Now, in many ways, though, I think the word cleansing is very similar to being made holy, isn't it? But there is a difference. There is a difference here. When Jesus made the church holy, it was a once-off holiness. But then the church needs to continually be cleansed, doesn't it? Now, we know ourselves that we continue to sin. There's sin inside of each one of us. And this cleansing work that will continue for the life of the church will help us throw off sin. Now, the word used here is often linked to the throwing off of evil. The church is cleansed of its evilness. Now, many of us have experienced the loss of a loved one, maybe a friend. And as you think about grief, often as we grieve externally, we express it. When we grieve, we express it externally. In other words, we start to cry, don't we? And in this process of grief or crying, it's very cathartic, isn't it? It's helpful to us. And that's what this word means. Just like crying is a cathartic process to help us deal with our grief bit by bit, here Jesus cleanses us bit by bit, cleanses us of evil by the washing with water through the word. And this is a very cathartic process. As we immerse ourselves in the word, we are cleansed. That's what it means when it says cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. As his already holy people, we are then cleansed by the washing with water through the word. Now, some people take this word, this water, to mean baptism. I don't think that's right. It's used corporately here for the church. I look at this and see that it's not an individual cleansing, but this is Jesus cleansing his church. The Bible often speaks to us about sin being dealt with corporately. And I see this is more metaphorical, that we are washed by the word of God. As the word of God dwells in us, as the word takes root in our lives, and we are challenged as to how we live, evil is removed and we are cleansed of that evilness or sinfulness. And I think as we look at this picture, we understand that, don't we? We know that as we immerse ourselves in the Bible, we understand more and more of how God wants us to live. We understand more and more of what we should stop doing, and we understand more and more of what's going to be pleasing to God and how we can start to live holy and pleasing lives for him. And as you look at it, this is the work of Jesus in us that's causing this cleansing to take place. Jesus cleanses us as we wash in the word. And this is the reason, second reason, for why he gave himself for us. So the question for you is, are you washing yourself in the word? Are you letting God's word dictate how you live? Are you letting Jesus rule your head, heart, and hands? I mean, that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, isn't it? We are the head, heart, and hands of Jesus in this world. We are to be the people he has made us. As his holy people, we desire to be cleansed by his word. Now, we have lots of ways to be cleansed by the word here at church. You can continue with reading the Bible together with the rest of the church. We encourage one another to read, and then we hear what God wants from us. We make sure that there's the daily Bible reading notes are there each time they come out. Are all good ways to immerse ourselves in the Bible. And there's many other things you can do. But what you can't do is to be made holy in Jesus, as we saw in our first point, and then ignore the washing of the word in your life. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus and not read the Bible. Disciples of Jesus read the Bible. And we need to be people of the word, people who live upon the very words of life that we have in the Bible and letting them wash over our life and cleanse us. This is the second reason why Jesus gave his life for you, to cleanse you. So as we head into the third point, again, let's remind ourselves of the question, why did Jesus give himself for the church? And this point tells us that Jesus gave himself so that we might be presented to him as people who are holy and blameless. It's about the presentation of God's people to himself. Jesus died to present the church as his holy bride and his holy people. And we see this in verse 27, where Jesus gave himself to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So the verb here is to present. To present her, to present the church to himself. In other words, the reason for why Jesus gave himself was to present the church to himself as a holy and blameless church. And it's quite amazing to think that Jesus gave himself so that his church, this church, is presented blameless before Jesus. In other words, the work of Jesus makes sure that we are brought close to God, that the relationship between God and his church is brought near. And another way of putting this is to say that we have taken a step closer to God, all through Jesus giving himself for his church. See, the Bible starts with God walking with his people. Adam and Eve were in the garden and they walked with God. But as they walked, they decided to separate from God. And as a result, God sent them out of the garden. And humanity has been separated from God ever since because of our sin. And then as you look at the story of the Bible, it's continually showing us that God is taking steps to get closer to humanity. He's taking steps to get us back, to bring us back to himself. And in Jesus, that's what he's done. Jesus gave himself, gave his life, so that we may be presented as holy and blameless to God. Why did Jesus give himself for us? To bring the church back to God. To present the church as holy and blameless, as it says in verse 27, to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And the church is all of these things because Jesus gave himself for the church. Tiger Woods was in a competition with his son last week. I don't know if you saw this. It was a father and son competition. I know Randall saw this. Tiger Woods just walked off for a moment off the, I think it's called the, they call it the tee, for a quick break. And while he was away, his son teed off and he got a hole-in-one. It was incredible. It was his first hole-in-one, but his dad wasn't there to see it. He missed it. Now, I haven't seen the shot, but apparently it was quite funny. The ball went in. Dad was nowhere to be found. He totally missed it. And I think we go through life with uncertainty, wondering, wondering if we've missed out on something crucial. A bit like Tiger and his son, missing that first hole in one. But what we've seen about Jesus Christ today is that we can be completely hopeful because Jesus has made us his church. His church are those who have trusted in him, those who are in Christ, and he has made us holy, cleansed us, and has gotten us ready to present to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And when I think about this, I feel like life is full of hope. Not hope in what we've been able to do and plan for ourselves in retirement. Not hope in the fact that we've got holidays coming up. But hopeful because Jesus Christ gave his life for you, for his church. Jesus has made us blameless, has made us holy. We're without stain or wrinkle, no blemish, holy and cleansed. The work of Jesus for his church gives us certain hope. Certain hope because the one who has gotten us ready for eternity is the one who gave his life to do it. When Corinne and I got married, there was so much expectation around what the day was going to be like. I remember dropping Corinne off just down the road here in Tarramurra to get fitted for a dress. I remember choosing the wine. I remember thinking through all the people that we would invite. I remember talking about where we would take photos. I remember talking through where we would go for our honeymoon. All of this expectation to look forward to our wedding day. There was so much to look forward to. And this is the expectation that the church has because of what Jesus has done for you. Because we are his church. So much hope. Because Jesus has done it all. Now I pray that as you reflect on this past year, that you may be encouraged by how Jesus is shaping you. You've heard lots about Jesus and how to follow him. And I pray that you may be encouraged to know that when you trust in Jesus, he has your future in his hands. So let's finish the year hopeful for what next year will bring. Hopeful that Jesus will wash you in the word. Hopeful that Jesus will continue to cleanse you and make you presentable to himself. See, that's why Jesus gave himself for the church, for you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the work you have done for each one of us. We ask that you help us to wash ourselves in the word and know that we have been made holy because we trust in you. Lord, you are amazing. You are our Lord and God, and you have done such wonderful things for us. We pray that your church will be faithful to you, relishing in the fact that you have made us who we are today. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.